thanks for your Hooters love and support during these difficult times. We'll always be here to offer a welcome escape from this crazy world with our amazing Hooters girls and fun-loving atmosphere. We know it can be tough to get out with friends and family these days, but don't worry, we've got you covered. It's fall, the game's on, and there's nothing better than Hooters to go to pull it all together for a great time. Hooters, our place or yours, we'll make it fun. Visit originalhooters.com.
This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. It is presented by Hooters, sponsors of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast for the last four seasons. I thank Hooters for what they have done throughout those 4 years. And prior to this year, of course, they hosted all our draft parties and even some other fantasy football podcast related events. We look forward to a time in the near future, we hope, or in 2021, where Hooters will welcome us to come back into the restaurant as a group and talk about fantasy football and just get caught up a little bit. I understand Hooters not wanting to host fantasy football draft parties this year, at least in my home area of the Tampa Bay region where the original Hooters brand is located. Remember, if you are in Tampa Bay like me, you have 11 original Hooters brand locations from which to choose. If you go to the John's Pass location, please ask for fantasy football player and podcast league participant Tony Metzler. He is the manager there. I haven't seen Tony in a while since we played golf together a few months back. Please ask for him if you visit the John's Pass location, one of 11 original Hooters brand locations in the greater Tampa Bay area. Thanks also to Sean Sullivan, also a podcast league player. He is the general manager of Bill Curry Ford that has been selling and servicing Ford products to generations of Tampa Bay residents on Northdale Mabry in Tampa, just north of Raymond James Stadium, and also just, a mile, maybe, east of the original Hooters location on Hillsborough Avenue. Sean Sullivan is not only the general manager of Bill Curry Ford, but he actively jumped in to keep a podcast league alive with a live draft on the showroom floor after the dealership had closed. And we had a terrific time. I posted all the photos on my social media pages, and Sean even made it more interesting by putting a $1,000 bounty on the champion of the league. No, not they get knocked off for $1,000, but if you beat Sean Sullivan, prevent him from winning the league, you will win a $1,000 check from Bill Curry Ford. We're even going to present that Happy Gilmore style at the dealership, and that's rapidly approaching at the end of the fantasy football season. Thank you, Sean Sullivan, Bill Curry Ford. Thanks to Hooters for their support of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm recording this on Monday morning, so this will be independent of anything that happens in the Monday night game, which continues to trend heavily in the Buccaneers' favor. It opened at 8.5 with the Bucs as a road favorite. It is up to, at last check, around 12.5, so it has moved 4 points in Brady and the Bucs' direction, even though it's a bit of a trap game now with so much attention on the Brady-Breeze battle on national TV on Sunday Night Football next week. And the last time the Bucs had a trap game like that in primetime against the Bears, they didn't fare particularly well, losing that game to the Bears, allowing the Bears to hang around and allowing the Bears to sort of dictate the physicality of that game. Maybe Todd Bowles and Bruce Arians and Tom Brady just used it as a lesson to those guys that you need to take it to your opponent rather than letting them take it to you. And we're seeing that more physical teams in the National Football League, in addition to simply having talent and being able to score points, are having the most success. Pittsburgh is another great example of that. The last unbeaten team in the National Football League. They go to Dallas next week. They will remain unbeaten as we approach Thanksgiving. Welcome to November. Welcome to this edition of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. We're simply going to title this fantasy football podcast, Uh-Oh. The Uh-Oh podcast is, you can look at it as an overreaction, or you can look at it simply as a reaction to some down performances, either in week 8 that just happened, or recently as it relates to players that are significant in your lineup, that you drafted to be starters, that you used probably somewhere in the area of a top 6 pick on to be starters, and at least in some cases they have been producing. In others, you've been waiting for them to come along, and they just have not. But there are reasons for the uh-ohs, and we're going to give you those reasons as well. Before I do that, though, I do want to give the Week 9 keyword. For those of you that listen to the podcast that like sending me emails, you need the keyword, so I will respond and give you a second opinion to your question. It's ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com, ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. The Week 9 keyword is Alexander. Yeah. As in my friend from VEASAN, who I appear with every week, late in the week on his A Numbers Game show on the Vegas Stats and Information Network, online and on SiriusXM. Alexander is the keyword for Week 9. Use it in the subject line or in the base of your email to let me know you are a podcast listener if you are also a listener to my segment with Gil Alexander on VEASAN. That's great. But you just need to know Alexander, and you're here on the podcast, so you have it for Week 9 to get a second opinion from me on starting lineups, on your uh-oh player, on rostering, on waivers, on possible trades. Just because the trade deadline is this week in the NFL doesn't mean it's this week in fantasy football. As a very firm fantasy football commissioner, I push back the trade deadline as far as Yahoo allows me to do so, because I like seeing activity in my leagues, like in a Rob Wright, who's one of the more active guys in shuffling his roster. Rob, actually, I tried to make a trade with Rob a couple of weeks ago. He said he was done trading, and since then, he's made two more deals. Rob, what happened there? I guess you just didn't want to make the deal with me. I don't blame you. Most people don't. So the keyword is Alexander for Week 9. Subject line or base of your email at ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. The first uh-oh, let's start with Devontae Parker of the Miami Dolphins. The Miami Dolphins coming off a bye week. Now, the Dolphins had the oh in terms of on-field by throttling the Los Angeles Rams over the weekend. But look how they did it. Tua Tagovailoa made his debut as a starter in the NFL. It appears this was planned all along. Nobody told Mark Fitzpatrick. We'll see if he moves here at the trade deadline. But apparently that was the plan all along. Look, the Dolphins have a winning record. They are more than a respectable team. And I even have a longtime Dolphin fan who said what they're doing makes sense. The Dolphins at the end of last year started to move off the pathetic to, you know, maybe something good could happen here next year. Something good is happening this year. Now, of course, Chris Sims, who's always the "hi, look at me, I'm on TV" guy, as part of Pro Football Talk and NBC Football Night in America, says the Dolphins actually might be the best team in the AFC East. They're not. It's the Buffalo Bills. Nevertheless, what the Dolphins have going looks like it's the arrow is pointing up. Now, how far up they can go and what they add in the offseason and what that means for next year, we wait and see. But good things are happening. So the plan to switch from Fitzmagic to Tagovailoa and perhaps change the game plan around Tagovailoa, it worked against a playoff team and a strong defense with two of the five or six best defenders in the league, in Jalen Ramsey and Aaron Donald. It worked. Look, it's not going to work that way every week. They play Arizona next week, slowing Kyler Murray, and the Arizona Cardinal offense is going to be much difficult, especially with the Dolphins traveling all the way to Arizona for that game. Nevertheless, the uh-oh is on Devontae Parker, because really, other than his Week 4 game against Seattle, targeted 12 times, 10 catches, 110 yards, let's look at Week 5. Targeted three times, two catches, 50 yards, but saved your fantasy bacon that week. You always want to get double digits with a touchdown, so he was in double digits. Then we look at Week 6 against a lousy team like the Jets. Targeted eight, but only caught three for 35, no touchdown. I'm sure if you were a Devontae Parker owner, you were expecting more in a game against the Jets. Then the bye week happens. We switch quarterbacks to Tua Tagovailoa and Devontae Parker. Two targets, one catch, 3 yards. And he will likely draw Patrick Peterson coverage in week nine against the Arizona Cardinals. So it is an uh-oh on how Devontae Parker is not producing at the level you drafted him now for about a month, and the switch to Tagovailoa and perhaps a philosophy change with the Dolphins may not benefit him going forward. So you have questions. Let's go next to Jonathan Taylor, running back for the Indianapolis Colts. Now, Taylor hasn't been a top 10 fantasy running back, but I know from my own leagues, he's been a very reliable guy I want to pull up all of Taylor's numbers. For one of the first place teams in my league, he's been an extremely reliable player. Sorry, I get distracted by a few things in my home when I do this. From a fantasy standpoint, because you know, right, what's my key? He's going to touch the ball. So here are the touch counts, and this is just from rushing attempts with Taylor. Opening week, touched the ball 9 times. Granted, the yardage wasn't there against the Jaguars as the Jags pulled that upset. But, okay, week 2, 26 attempts, 101 yards and a touchdown. Week 3, 13 attempts, 59 yards and a touchdown. Week 4, against a tough Bear defense, 17 attempts, 68 yards, no touchdowns. Cleveland the following week, 12 touches, and this is all rushing attempts, 57 yards, got the touchdown. Against Cincinnati, 12 touches, 60 yards. Okay, we'll let that one pass, then the Colts hit their bye week. Coming out of the bye week against a Detroit team going nowhere, where the Colts put up 41 points. Was it 41 or 42? 41. 11 touches, 22 yards. And you saw how Jordan Wilkins got 20 rushes, twice basically of what Taylor got, and Nyheim Hines was very involved in the passing game. Next up for Taylor is the Baltimore Ravens, and next up after that are the Tennessee Titans. It is not it is an uh-oh spot for owners of Jonathan Taylor. You went from, well, I'd like a little more, but at least he's solid in my lineup, to, uh-oh, what just happened? Why were two other running backs scoring much higher than Jonathan Taylor against a bad team like Detroit, and now I'm not even sure that I want to start him against that Raven defense? So Jonathan Taylor fits the uh-oh category. Speaking of the Ravens, Mark Andrews certainly falls into that category. While I do not employ the mandatory tight end in my league, Mark Andrews certainly has been a guy who could be in the conversation at the position that I do employ, which is the wide receiver tight end flex in all my leagues. And I saw Mark Andrews after Kittle had gone off the board, Kelsey had gone off the board, people had overdrafted Gronkowski, especially here in Tampa Bay. I would see Mark Andrews going off the board just because of his connection with Lamar Jackson. Well, as we've talked about on previous fantasy football podcasts, as Lamar Jackson goes, so has Mark Andrews gone. And the latest game, a loss to the Steelers, was the latest example of that. And you even had, I thought, you know, Roto World does a terrific job with how they analyze players and just basic comments they make about players. And we're at the, you know, we're past the midpoint of the fantasy season here, at least the regular season. We're basically now done with the entire half of the season, if you include the 3-week playoffs. And someone on Roto World wrote about Mark Andrews, this offense simply cannot support a top-flight pass catcher. So Mark Andrews falls into that category. You already know there isn't a receiver there. You have seen that with the disappointment on Hollywood Brown. But this week was another example. Granted, Pittsburgh doesn't give up a lot of fantasy points to tight ends. But in a tight game like this, and there were the Ravens trying to score to win the game, and it didn't happen. Mark Andrews, low targets, low production, and I think at this point you're hitting uh-oh on him and might be looking for other options. The last one I want to give you is Amari Cooper. Now, we told you on this podcast when Dak Prescott went out for the year, it was not only the loss of the most productive fantasy player at the time of the injury. Dak Prescott was putting up numbers that were better than Russell Wilson, better than Patrick Mahomes, better than Kyler Murray, better than Derrick Henry, better than Alvin Kamara. It was going to have a domino effect on other players you drafted to be starters off the Dallas Cowboys. It was going to impact Ezekiel Elliott as much as the bad offensive line also impacts Ezekiel Elliott, because teams now could really, really focus their defensive attention on not allowing Elliott to beat them, especially on the early downs when the Cowboys are trying to play in front of the chains. That has not only been the case, but we have an uh-oh game out of Amari Cooper. As I talked about when Dak went down, Amari would likely suffer because of this. And in the Sunday night game, surprisingly competitive until the fourth quarter, Amari Cooper didn't even see the ball until I believe it was either late third or early fourth quarter, and he caught one ball for 5 yards. And you could just see in his body language that Cooper knew that they weren't even looking at him. Darius Slay has not had a good year. Pro Football Focus, I believe, ranks him at 42nd, somewhere in the 40s at his position going into last night. But based on where the Cowboys were at quarterback with DiNucci, down another 3-4 steps from Dalton, did you notice Garrett Gilbert is next in line for the Cowboys if they bench or DiNucci got injured? Now the expectation is Dalton will be back and out of concussion protocol. But Garrett Gilbert was Steve Spurrier's quarterback for the Orlando Apollos. They were the best team in the AAF at the time that the AAF finally admitted they had no money. So Garrett Gilbert is next in line. I had a friend of mine say, well, what about Kellen Moore? And Kellen Moore is the offensive coordinator. Ironically, until Tua started for the Dolphins yesterday, Kellen Moore was the last left-handed quarterback to start an NFL game. You're saying that's impossible. You know, we've had Steve Young, Tim Tebow, we've had, you know, so many, Michael Vick. They're not that prevalent anymore. So we went basically 4 years without another start from a left-hand quarterback. A friend of mine was saying, would Kellen Moore take off the headset and actually just run the offense? I'm like, nah, I think he's pretty much done. It just shows how rare the left-handed quarterback is in the NFL. But back to Amari Cooper. If you didn't agree with me back then that the loss of Dak would hurt Amari and say, well, there's going to be, you know, the Cowboys do stink. Their defense is awful. They're giving up 34 points per game going into the Eagles game. Amari's going to get some garbage time. He still might, but last night, and granted it was DiNucci and not Dalton, once teams take away Ezekiel Elliott, they can just commit, even though the Dallas supposedly had all these weapons with CeeDee Lamb, the use of Dalton Schultz, Michael Gallup. Cooper is suffering as a result of this. And last night was an uh-oh game for Amari Cooper owners thinking, well, he'll still survive this because the Cowboys are going to have to throw to keep up with their bad defense. It didn't work against the Philadelphia Eagles, who just blanketed coverage on Amari Cooper and made him a non-option for DiNucci in one catch, and I believe only one target for 5 yards. So there are some uh-ohs for you. If you have any more that you feel just this past week or the past couple of weeks, it's an uh-oh. A guy you drafted that was doing fine for you through the first 4, 5, 6 weeks, and just based on what's going on, other things with his team, his numbers. Not all guys fall into that category. Remember a couple weeks ago, gentleman named, was it Kenny in Canada, wrote me about, he was at that point with Lockett. And I said, no, I said, let this play out with Lockett. He's productive. I know Metcalf is getting the touchdowns, and Metcalf got the touchdowns in week 8, but Lockett was the number one fantasy performer of week 7. The uh-oh applies, you have to apply it. There have to be a lot of other factors there. And some factors would say you don't like what's going on with a particular player, but it doesn't mean you bench them. It doesn't mean you cut them. It doesn't mean you trade them. And always remember, if you are at your end, it's your team. If you are at your end with a player that you're just like, no, he just doesn't, he's not consistent enough. I don't want to deal with this anymore. I'm just going to get rid of him. Remember, his perceived value is probably higher to at least one other owner in your league, and you might be surprised what you can get in trade value as long as you contact owners and tell them who is untouchable on your roster, and they'll be like, wow, he didn't say him. And you might get a surprise trade offer. That's what happened in my fire sale in my foundation league a number of weeks ago, where I was able to bring in people like Keenan Allen and DeAndre Hopkins and Patrick Mahomes, where the perceived value on a player, and granted, Robert Woods isn't a bad player, but I was at that point with Robert Woods because the Ram offense is just so difficult to predict. I didn't want to deal with the Ram offense, and I got I got Keenan Allen for Robert Woods, and I like the consistency of Keenan Allen with Justin Herbert, even though the Chargers blow 16-point leads about as easily as I miss 10-foot putts. I like what I'm getting in Keenan Allen, even though Robert Woods, I believe in week 8, had a 2-touchdown performance in a losing effort against the Dolphins. So that's enough for this podcast. I have babbled long enough. Remember, the week 9 keyword at ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com is Alexander. Alexander is the keyword. Use it in the subject line or the base of your email so I know you're a podcast listener, and I will be happy to respond to your email with a second opinion on what you need. Thank you for listening to this edition of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, presented by Hooters and supported by Bill Curry Ford.